by saying something regardless of what the other person is thinking is called authenticity, because you're sticking to, you know, your core values, your beliefs, and your feelings. But then take the same situation of fake laughing, and you could also be authentic and fake laugh at someone's joke because you value kindness as a value over honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a bit confusing itself, because then I'm like, well, how do you separate anything then?
And how do you even make a hierarchy of, at least a consistent hierarchy of your own morals and act accordingly in every situation?
Yeah.
That's also something that seems impossible.
And just the reinforcing factor of maybe other hobbies, like, you know, what you were saying about liking a certain genre, but then shifting it over because you know, or like shifting over a little bit because you know the other person will like it. Or, you know, for me, like, I like surfing. I like surfing to a good extent, but then I also really like the reaction I hear from others when I tell them mm-hmm. I like surfing. So then this just reinforces me to do the hobby again. So was this even authentic behavior to begin with? Like, sure, I liked it.
I think there is some seedling of authenticity. If you're doing something you genuinely enjoy, and tying it back to a topic that we had a few weeks ago, but because of its intrinsic value, like, it's not you're doing it as a means to an end to gain validation or a certain reaction from somebody. In the initial stage of making that decision to do something, you're doing it because you genuinely enjoy it. But I think it's really hard to stop there and not, you know, kind of glean and profit in some way off of whatever social currency it gives you, and to incorporate it into part of your identity and kind of boost your own ego with it.
I think that's where the, you know, like, the people reinforcing after you like doing something is that thing. We just can't escape performative behavior, I think, in any sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's
not necessarily a bad thing, like we
said.
Yeah,
not bad.
But there is, like, you know, how far does it go? Because there is an argument that everything we do is a performance, because it's almost like a free will kind of argument, but like based on the life experiences that we've all had, they've led us to understand what is cool, what is acceptable, what will help us gain social currency or capital, and then we use others as a reflection or a model of how we want to be. Spending time with similar others, we kind of pick up hobbies from them that we want to emulate, and then it reinforces these identity traits in us. So how much is learned, how much is also intrinsic? Because I guess that's the difference between the learned part could be more of a performance. If it's intrinsic, then it is, could be more authentic, but we don't know for sure.
I think I agree with the idea before that we all have this seedling of authentic behaviors. But it just, like, unless we're in this, you know, perfect isolated world with no other people, we are always going to have some sort of social perception for our behaviors and for our hobbies. Even when we're alone, we think about how others will perceive us.
Yes.
So it's impossible to get away from the fact. And one example, in middle school, I think it was grade eight or so, I was big into K-pop. I was so big into K-pop. And then my friend was like, my Korean friend, she's like, "You're such a Koreaboo." And that kind of ruined K-pop for me. And, you know, I don't think, I just stopped gradually liking it. And now when I return back to K-pop, I'm like, I don't find it interesting anymore and I don't like it anymore. But then I'm like, well, how much of that was influenced by what was said to me earlier on, and now that I actually feel internally I don't like it, but did mm-hmm. that happen? What happened there?
One comment from somebody else can really change your entire perception of yourself.
So it is tricky, but I think personally that there will always be performative behavior from, you know, our views of what other people think about us, because I think it's impossible. There's not going to be, do you think there's a human out there who's like, I don't give a crap about what anyone says?
I think there are definitely people who say that, but I don't know if I truly believe them, because mm-hmm. also it is evolutionarily beneficial to be liked by other people, and that has helped us survive over the decades, and that's why people are performative, I think, as well.
Yeah, if we couldn't work together, we'd all be fighting each other. And
well, we are.
I mean, even more than now, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. To survive, we need to work together. Yeah.
So that kind of brings us to the question, is performing an actual bad thing? Because, you know, we have points for both against and for, because, you know, we are social creatures. But at the same time, all the implications for our mental health, for example.
Mm-hmm. So for yes, like performing is a bad thing, what would be some reasons? So one that I could think of is abandoning your morals in for the benefits of social approval, because I think following the herd often isn't necessarily a good indication of what you should do. It's more of a way to fit in with others and not necessarily doing the right thing.
I think along with that, with the morals, because you also repress your true interests, you know, and your emotions and your thoughts sometimes. And I feel like this can create this sense of emptiness and that feeling of being isolated when you're with people, because no one knows the real you. No one knows what you actually think like.
Do you even know the real you at a certain point?
I don't think no one knows the real you or the real person you are. Mm-hmm. But it then just farther separates from you, farther separates from what your self-awareness should be. Mm-hmm. And I think also with performing that others can tell. I think it's very easy for people to spot inauthenticity. And this could also lead to, you know, a lack of trust in you as a person, because, you know, if you don't even know who you are, then how do they even know who you are? And then just performing itself, you know, with social media, I think that it creates a pretty negative culture. And for example, specifically young girls are sold that on Instagram, you know, you see these Instagram influencers and they are beautiful and they have entertaining lives and they're rich. And every time, as DJ Star was saying before, it has this cycle of, you know, there's an attack on your self-esteem, and it reinforces the idea that your life is not good enough, which means you're not good enough. And I don't think,
You need to fix that somewhere.
Yeah, you need to fix it in some way. And you know, I don't think the influencers, they don't want to do that and make people feel bad, but it makes them money. So that's the issue with it, I think, on the yes side. But there are no points as well.
Yeah, there are some supporting points for, like, maybe performing isn't such a bad thing, but I think it does. Performance exists on a spectrum too. Like, we're talking about when it gets extreme that people can tell, but I think in a less extreme situation, it can definitely help strengthen the social bonds and relatedness with other people, because if you're constantly authentic to yourself and super honest, people actually might not like you that much. So I think it does kind of protect against, you know, just relationships in general, and helps protect you from not having any relationships.
Yeah, to a certain point, you need to be at least performing to be a nice person sometimes. Like, you can't just be, you know, very selfish, because you need to think about what other needs are. And that's how you keep people. That's how you keep people in your lives. Another point for no, that mentioned in the yes point, that, you know, these influencers and celebrities, they also rely on performative behavior as their line of work. So nothing against them. Like, they can do what they want. And that's just...
I kind of have something against influencers, though. I don't know.
That'll be another time. We gotta move on. But that was...
Yeah, we do.
Part one for a little discussion. We'll have part two after our little music break.
Part two is quite long, though.
We might have to
We might have to break it up. We'll see. We'll take a break, discuss how much we can fit in, and then we'll be back.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah. So this next song we're going to be playing will be personal favorite.
It's a classic. Yeah, summer party classic.
This one's good. So Forever starts with a 4 by Shy Girl, Empress of and Kingdom from Club Shy, the EP, and hits every time.
Every time.
Every time.
I say you're playing on your mind. You think of me forever. body, the body, you hit me, babe. Give me that good, good, deep, babe. Too rough, that's right, I like that way. Say what you want, but I move your mate. There's no such thing as a bad mistake. Keep it bound like a shit that made you stay. I stay playing on your mind. You think of me forever. I stay on your mind. Never. I stay on your mind. You wanna ride? You wanna ride, show me tonight, que lo que hay. Me quieres a mí, I want you inside. Dame otra, bebé, dame de lo bueno pa'l amanecer. Yeah, I see you stare, you want it, I'll show you where.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM. You're tuning into Slumber Party. I'm DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco.
And that was Do My Thing by Von D. I'm slightly out of breath because I was dancing around. It's a really good song. Both of us were. And we are just coming back to continue our topic. We did have to cut out one section of it. I think we're going to do gender as a performance a different day, because
that's a big can
of worms to address. But I think we'll just be focusing more on performative males themselves, which was the inspiration for this topic.
Yeah, this is more of a mini segment. Not enough or not big enough that it could have been in the first section, but a good point to bring up in this very performative era mm-hmm. of society and life. So as you may or may not know, performative males is this internet archetype of a man that was popularized last year, 2025, on social media. So it always existed, but now there's an actual label on it. And these performative males, it is commonly associated with these displays of emotional sensitivity, progressivism, and feminism. And it is, you know, there are men who like these things, but for these particular men, it is done as a means to superficially appeal to women for the intent to romantically pursue them for, you know, the quote-unquote female gaze. So for if we're putting down some examples here, some would be like reading feminist books or listening.
Bell Hooks was a big one, a big author.
Listening to female indie artists. So we've got Claro, Lafay, the Marias, drinking matcha lattes, astrology, talking about therapy, journaling, goes on and on and on. It's also about their fashion sense, so vintage fashion, crop tops and things.
Mm-hmm. Just the general idea that they're woke.
Very woke, like, yeah,
they understand women's struggles and everything.
Yeah, and with them, I feel like they've been bashed pretty hard in general.
Oh, yeah.
If you, as a listener, are on social media for more especially Gen Z, kind of landscape, they are bashed pretty hard, and their general appearance is used as this very humorous trend, but same with their behaviors. But then when these performative behaviors becomes to a certain level, that's when I think that it's justified to bash them. But it's pretty rare. So, you know, there's two types.
Is it rare, though?
For performative men?
That's the question.
I wouldn't know.
My view is skewed. I feel like they might be everywhere, but maybe they're not.
So which one do you know? I'll give you two of them. So first one, we've got the inauthentic ones. So mm-hmm. these are more surface level performative males. They're not exactly the ones that we should be as concerned with because, you know, they do all these things, but they actually don't like their hobbies or, you know, saying they read feminist books. And for example, you know, they're posting deep poetry quotes online, but then in person, you've never heard them say that ever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've made this very crafted vision for validation, and they'll just cycle to the next trend once it becomes, and they'll get attention for it. But then the second one is the manipulative performative male, which is kind of more the issue that women have been talking about online, which is more that they are lying about the things that they believe in and their values, and this is all to just get with women.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a sense, having more calculated thoughts is worse than just outright misogyny. So, for example, a man who's like, oh, you know, I believe in equality and I believe that women should have equal rights. And then you only find out after that he never thought about these things and he just wanted to do it so he could go on a date with you. Mm-hmm. That is manipulative.
That's extremely manipulative. And it is just sad because for a while it felt like, oh, well, these women have feminism to protect ourselves in some way. And then, okay, actually the men have discovered feminism now. And they are actually using it against us in some ways and trying to manipulate it in order to, yeah, basically use us in a similar objectifying way that maybe straight up misogynistic men would. It's more of just a different pathway to get to the same goal.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you think it's woke, but then suddenly it's just fulfilling the same patriarchy at the same time.
Literally.
But yeah, with this as well for performative men, I think also why they get bashed so hard is not just these, like, you know, inauthenticity and manipulation traits that are associated with this, but also...
Yeah, can I just add something before you get into that? Like, they're not one bashed more. Just because they're manipulative towards women, because normally men aren't bashed that hard for being manipulative towards women or treating women badly. So there has to be some other underlying reason why it's gotten so much attention and so much hate. And then there you go.
This is the second. This is the more major point. The underlying reason why it's bashed so hard is that society, just society itself is discomforted at men who display any sort of behavior that isn't masculine. And so it raises the question, like, why don't the men who are crazy big into the gym and wear Timberlands and Carhartts get trashed on and publicized as an internet joke as much as these types of guys?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because people just still feel discomforted towards men who have these more feminine associate behaviors, because it's like, oh, you're still not really a real man because you talk about going to therapy, you know, you drink matcha lattes instead of a black coffee like a man should. And I think that this gives extra publicity and extra hatred towards these subgenre, or I guess this archetype of men.
Yeah, and it's so interesting that these are the men that are called performative males, because they are displaying these more feminine qualities. But in the same sense, people like gym bros are equally being performative in their gender expression, because they are, you know, they are trying to act towards getting bigger muscles, getting into stoicism. There's so many other gendered things that they're performing, and that is not considered performative because it aligns with society's mm-hmm. general view of what masculinity should be. But then when it like misaligns with that, then we start calling them performative and start hating on it. So it is complex, because there is a very valid concern of women who are saying that these men are actually being performative feminists, basically, to get into our pants. But at the same time, the reason that it's blown up so much and gained so much attention from so many different kinds of people is that it's because femininity is basically demonized, whether it be in women themselves, which is where misogyny comes from, or within men. And that's also why it's so looked down upon to be gay as well for men. At least a part of it is that there is an aspect of femininity associated with that, which society hates.
Mm-hmm.
Society hates women, basically, we're trying to say.
Essentially, we may be built on that. Mm-hmm. But moving for a final point here. So these performative males, you know, there are lots of men who like doing these things. Like, you know, just because you sometimes drink a matcha latte doesn't make you a performative male. And it's kind of a joke, like, oh, you know, you're a performative male for doing this thing. But it's only when you have your own personality to do with everything about getting validated by other people doing these hobbies, reading these feminist books, you know, that's when it draws the line into calling someone performative. And I think that's pretty much the summary
mm-hmm.
on that. So that is the takeaway for this kind of whole day, is this issue of performative behavior. We didn't have enough time to get through our segment on gender performativity, but we'll get to that next week and expand on it more.
Yes. And I guess a question for you as a listener to think about is everything we do a performance? Is everything you do a performance? Like, what in your life is not and what is? And like, how does that serve you? And yeah, maybe take a break from social media and see if it changes anything.
Mm. See if you do things without thinking about what others will think when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just for a little bit.
Little experiment.
Yeah, if you want.
Mm-hmm. But I think that pretty much wraps up our conversation on performativity, and our show will be coming to a close as it is almost 7. Up next would be Lynn's open mic, I think.
I don't know, she's not live here, but I think they got to slot something in. So I think you'll be hearing Lynn's open mic, mm-hmm. and then at 8 p.m. we have Bitcoover with our music coordinator, Connor. So stick around for those two shows.
Yeah, and thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate it. Every week we are here, 6 to 7 p.m., and I think we'll play one more song just to close it out.
We're going to do Como D by CRRDR and Latin Core. Very excited to play this one. I think we're ending it off pretty strong with the Latin music, EDM. So anyways, thank you and see you next week.
Thank you, bye.
Bye.
Atención.
Yucasterio. Domingos 6 a 8 p.m. 90.1 CJSF Radio.
CJSF
90.1 FM.
Thanks for listening. See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.